Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Before we start today, I have a confession to make. And whenever somebody says that, everybody's like, oh, what is he about to say? But I have a major problem, and I know you guys are wondering what it is, but I want to tell you a story first so that you can have some context. You see, as some of you know, I actually live in Rhode Island. That's where I'm from, but I wasn't born there. I actually lived in St. Louis and in Indianapolis, and then in 2015, my family hauled and moved to Rhode Island, and we love it there, but something about that state is that it's the most unchurched region in the United States. It is less than 10% Christian. And so there's almost no churches, at least Christian churches. I mean, there's a lot of Catholic churches, but a lot of people don't go to church. There, I played baseball at a local high school, and it was a rougher high school in my area, actually kind of famous for its drug use specifically. And here's the catch with this. So I'm an outsider coming from another state, and if you understand the culture of New England, they don't take too kindly to outsiders right away. You kind of have to earn your keep a little bit. And so I'm out there trying to build relationships and connections with people, but these walls are getting built up because I'm an outsider. Here's the other thing. I was homeschooled. I've never spent a day in public school. The first time I went to a classroom was when I went to Ozark. And so here I am, a homeschooled kid trying to play for a high school baseball team as an outsider from another state. So the odds are starting to get stacked against me, as you can tell. Here's the other thing. I was a homeschooled pastor's kid. So, as you can tell, the odds aren't looking very good for me to make some friends here in this high school. And so I'm sitting here, you know, just to recap for those keeping score, I'm a homeschooled pastor's kid, moved to a school that the only time the name of God is uttered was when you're cussing out your coach because he made you run. That was pretty much the only time. But I was optimistic. And I was hoping that I was going to change lives and that I was going to build relationships and make friends and make a difference in this community. But finally, when I got to the practice field, and here's my confession, and I started hanging out with the guys, I found myself masking my faith. I would actually hide what I believed. I would completely abandon my morals when it came to both what I said and what I did. You see, here's the problem that I have sometimes, that I care so much what others think of me that I let it impact how I live. And I abandon what I believe. You see, if I were to put it this way, I sacrifice my integrity at the altar of acceptance. Can you guys relate to that? You understand? Have you been there before? But the problem is, I have another confession. It's similar to the first one, but it is different. It's gonna feel opposite. You see, there have been times also when I hang out with my friends, or that I have hung out with my friends, that I don't pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth, of the actions that I'm doing, because I don't care who's around me. I forgot about the importance of my witness to others. I forgot about the light that I'm supposed to shine for God. You see, my second problem is that I stop caring what others think of me so much that I lived a life that looked no different than the world around me. I sacrificed my integrity at the altar of acceptance, but the problem is I also sacrificed my holiness at the altar of apathy, of not caring, of not feeling. These two things seem like they're opposites. How can you simultaneously care so much what others think, but at the same time not care what others think at all? But when you boil it down to its foundations, you see how they mesh together, that they are actually the same sickness with different symptoms. Do you struggle with this too? Maybe it's just one of the problems, or maybe you struggle with both, like me. But we notice when we open up the Gospel of Matthew and turn to chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And this is the words that we read earlier. Peyton talked last week about the Beatitudes and how Jesus was flipping everything on its head and kind of changing the way we see the world. And once again, he's telling us how to live in these verses. And it says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, put it but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Whether you struggle with caring too much what others think or not caring at all, Jesus is calling us to a life that looks like salt and light. If I had to put this in kind of a complex, singular sentence, I would put it this way, that when we dedicate ourselves to distinguishability, that's a big word, it's a $3 word, we initiate others towards transformation. When we dedicate ourselves to looking different than the world, we start to initiate, we start to push others to doing the same and changing their lives. Now, if you're confused at kind of the whole sentence, that's okay. You're just getting an inside look of what our discussions look like with the sophomore boys. I feel like I confuse them half the time. So they're all nodding their heads in the back. So I'm gonna simplify it and put it this way. Changed people change people. And I'm gonna break this down by each of the illustrations that Jesus is using, starting with salt. With salt, I want you to hear this big point. Live your life purposefully. I used to not understand what Jesus was trying to do with this text because I was really like, just kind of took it at face value. Being a pastor's kid, I maybe heard it 100 times, but I didn't really take the time to think about what he's saying. And I think if you look at this, Jesus is making a deep point. First of these points is that salt is distinguishable. Have you ever had something really salty before? Like really salty, like it hurts salty. Let me tell you about one time, my first trip to CIY, I was a freshman, super excited to be there. I had heard legend of what CIY Move was gonna be like. And some of you guys know, we went to Michigan too when I lived in Indianapolis when I was a freshman. And I was going with my older brother, Mason. And he was a senior and hung out with all the cool people, the people who I thought were the coolest. So my mission was to hang out with these people. And we're on our way and we stop at a Culver's. I don't know why that's important. The point is we're sitting there and we're at this restaurant and we're getting wrapping up and I sit there and I'm the life of the party. I'm sitting at the cool table. Everybody's laughing at my jokes. I think I'm the man. And I sit there. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to go to the bathroom, watch my drink. I'll be right back. And so I go to the bathroom. I come back and I sit there and I grab my drink and I notice they're laughing. And I'm trying to catch up to them and see what they're saying. Here's the thing that you need to know about my brother. He is a notorious prankster. His love language is messing with people, specifically me. And he was getting kind of annoyed with me trying to win over his friends. And so he decided that he was going to pour an entire canister of table salt on my drink. And I did not notice this until finally I'm walking by and I notice an old man sitting in a booth with his wife. And he looks a lot like Santa Claus. It's wonderful. Looks very cute. Until I take a sip of my drink. And I'm saying, hey guys, wait up. And I turn and instinctually the salt hits my mouth and the only thing I can do is spit it out. But I don't spit it in front of me. I turn and look at this sweet old man and spit all over him. And he looks at me with such disturbance and shock on his face. And I'm a little freshman. I don't know what to say. I'm like, sorry. And then just run. And so this man is sitting here with my spit on his face. You see, salt is distinguishable. You notice when it's there. It's kind of like when I think of this, it's like when you finish like a sport and you drink a whole bunch of water and the only thing you're craving is salt. Not only is it noticeable when it's there, but it's noticeable when it's not there. Could you imagine sitting there craving salt and you're like, you want a bag of like Lay's potato chips or Pringles, and all of a sudden somebody hands you like bland oatmeal, like with nothing in it. Like you would be disappointed. Job 6 actually talks about this. He says that salt is that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the juice of the malo? A malo is just an egg, just so you know. My appetite refuses to touch them because they are as food that is loathsome to me. Job here is lamenting tasteless food that is saltless. Salt is so distinguishable. We recognize when it is present, but we also recognize when it is absent. We know when it's not there. And so Jesus is saying, you know, salt without saltiness is useless. Because salt is useful. If you look in the everyday life of a Hebrew that day, it was an important part of a person's diet as well as being a preservative. It was an everyday part of a person's life. Salt is useful on top of being distinguishable. Salt is holy and pure. If we turn to Leviticus 2:13, it says this, "You shall see all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offerings. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." Offerings were required to have salt in them because they helped make the sacrifice pure and holy and sweet to God. These are the attributes that Jesus is now calling us to embody in this image of salt and living purposefully, that we would be distinguishable, useful, holy, and pure. And everything we say and everything we do. But what if we don't? Jesus says that if the salt loses its saltiness, it will be cast out and trampled. Here's the problem with this statement, and this is what I love. Jesus is brilliant. There's many thoughts about what this means, right? But my favorite is this. It's an old proverbial trick that a rabbi would use, essentially stating an impossibility. You see, salt is a stable compound, which means it is impossible for salt to lose its saltiness. It's brilliant. So what does Jesus mean then? It's a trick question. The answer to his question, how can salt lose its saltiness, is that it can't. In a similar way, Jesus is using this expression to describe an equally impossible characteristic of his disciples. That as they go out, they are supposed to be salt. The proof of their saltiness is visible through their actions. True disciples cannot lose what makes them disciples because they are changed persons made new in Christ. But it's an adverse statement too. If salt can't lose its saltiness, then what does? The salt that isn't actually salt. You see, it's like imposters. They have the appearance of salt, merely an external flavoring. And then like a cheap chewing gum, you guys have been there before. It's like the double bubble. It lasts like 5 seconds and then you have to spit it out because it doesn't taste good anymore. The flavoring wears off. And when the external saltiness is gone, they are cast out and thrown away. You see a parallel in John 15:5-6. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides," I like the word remains in me, "and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned." Whether it is through the image of salt or trees, the point is the same. If you remain in God and are his disciples, it is evidenced by your fruit or your saltiness. But if you are not remaining in him, this verse says you'll be burned. Matthew 5 says you're gonna be trampled. It's kind of harsh. But what does it all mean? It means that when you are a changed person, you live your life purposefully. And that's what it means to be salt, to have a purpose to your actions, that you would stop living like what you say has no impact on the people around you, that you would live your life as authentic disciples, holy and pure in your words and actions. Because to those who do not live purposefully and only have the appearance of salt are going to be taken out and trampled. The second illustration Jesus uses is the image of light. 14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket." That wouldn't make sense. "But on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I love the image of light. You see it all over the Bible. It starts in Genesis, goes all the way through. And it's commonly used to describe a characteristic or attribute of God that guides us closer towards him. We pursue light like a little kid with a nightlight in his room. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" 43:3, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring to your holy hill and your dwelling." 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:130, "The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple." The light of God has been guiding us from the beginning since we see it created in Genesis 1:1. And like all these references are just in the Psalms. And this is what we see in the Old Testament. God then completes this guidance of light when he sends his son to come into the flesh, as in Jesus Christ, as he was also described in light. John 1, 4 and 5 says, in him was light, and that light was the life of all mankind, or life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What I love about this text is the God who has been light to the world from the beginning of time is now inviting us to reflect this light to the world. We are called to be the city on the hill. We are now called to be lights to the world, but the problem is the world lives in darkness. Students, this is a world living in darkness. All you have to do, honestly, is turn on the news or scroll through Twitter for a couple minutes to find things like violence and terrible, terrible acts and things that just break your heart. This is the view that people around you see. Like, I can hardly see any of y'all's faces. People are wandering, they're confused, they're lost in the darkness. I'm about to ask a question that I think all of us are wondering, but who's the person that comes to mind? I feel like all of us go to a person when we think about the one who is lost. I'll say what it is for me. When I think about it, I think of my friend Charles. He's a guy from my youth group when I was in high school. When I moved to college, he moved to college, and we kind of separated, and he walked away and is now lost and wandering, and it breaks my heart every day. I think of my friend Jonathan. Jonathan has been an atheist his whole life and refuses to believe that there is a God, because if God is real, then how can he reconcile all the terrible things that have happened to him? I think of my friend Richard, a Marine who desires love and acceptance so much, but he thinks that the only way that he is going to find it is at the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. In high school, I cared so much what these guys thought of me that I valued their acceptance over reflecting the light of Christ in their lives. But Jesus, is calling us to be the light to this world, to be lights to the world of darkness. Because when lights turn on, the whole room is lit up. When you are a changed person, you live your life differently, different from the darkness. But the problem is that we care too much what people think that we decide to try and cover it up. And that just doesn't make any sense. We choose to let them only see darkness because we want to be accepted. But what does it cost? I think there are a few people who have reactions to these verses, these words that Jesus is saying. And maybe you're sitting here today and your response to these verses are, what if I have lost my saltiness? Or I was at one point being a light to my friends, but I think I am covering it up. If this is you, I just want to say a few words. I want to encourage you with what was said earlier. Salt does not lose its saltiness, even if it believes it does. God loves you, and you are still his disciple. That can never change. Honestly, the fact that you are wrestling with this question, for me, proves your authenticity. All that happened is you took your focus off of him and on to yourself or the world around you. You know where the light is. Now it is time to refocus yourself on that light you were called to be reflecting, because as we know, you can only reflect what you're facing towards. Maybe you're sitting here today and your reaction to these verses are, but I've been doing it right. I have been light for my friends for years and nothing has happened. I actually know a few of you out there who are feeling this. If this is you, let me remind you that even when it feels like nothing is happening, God is still faithful and he never wastes your obedience. You are not the light, but you are reflections of the light. Give yourself some grace and take comfort in knowing that God is proud of you for being faithful. So push on and remain faithful, because you never know how God might be working. Last person I want to speak to, Maybe you're sitting here today and your response to these verses are, I have been walking in the darkness and I think I'm ready to start reflecting the light. If so, let me say, I'm very proud of you. And you should go have a conversation with your leaders after this. But let me tell you this first. Jesus came to earth as a man. He died on a cross, resurrected after 3 days in order to deliver you from this darkness you're in and bring you to his light. This call is just as much for you as it is for the person who has been reflecting the light for 60 years. We all need to hear it every now and again. There is no better time to make this decision than the present. It does not matter how dark you think your life is, Christ's light is going to shine through it like this lamp is in the room. So this week, we actually have a response element that is gonna be after we sing our songs. There's gonna be bracelets in the back. And my encouragement is for you to take one. It's gonna say salt and light on it. A reminder to live your lives purposefully and differently. To be a changed person with the mission of changing people. I am inviting you, whether you have been salt and light from the beginning or whether you're gonna decide today that this is what you wanna be. Take this bracelet as a reminder of your commitment to both God and each other. I'm gonna pray and then the band's gonna play a couple songs. Father, I thank you. I pray that you give us the opportunity to respond and to reflect on the words that you have spoken to us. God, I pray for each student here and whatever school they're in, whatever part that they're feeling, whatever response you're laying on their heart, God, I pray that you move them to act. I thank you for each one of the students here. I thank you for the impact they've had on my life. And I pray that you help us to be salt and light to the world around us. It's through your son we pray these things, amen.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.